I'm reading this morning from Colossians 1, 11 through 20. By being strengthened through his glorious might so that you endure everything and have patience, and by giving thanks with joy to the Father, he made it so you could take part in the inheritance in light granted to God's holy people. He rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He set us free through the Son and forgave our sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation. Because all things were created by him, both in the heavens and on the earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the one who is firstborn from among the dead, so that he might occupy the first place in everything. Because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in him, and he reconciled all things to himself through him. Whether things on earth or in the heavens, he brought peace through the blood of his cross.
I don't know if you know my preaching style. I like to be walking up and down the aisle, and I like to be holding my sermon in hands. But this morning, our copier won't talk to my computer, so the printout won't come out. So I'm going to use what's on my computer and screen and relate to you this message. In life, there are many, many things that might be just busyness or small stumbling blocks where somehow our network's copier won't talk to the computer. But in a way, as people of God, we don't rely on God to make everything in our life smooth, but that because God is with us, all these little stumbling blocks actually means nothing, does not affect our spirit and our beings. Today's message, I'm very moved by this passage, not only just because it has powerful words, but because it is reciting a hymn about Christ. Sometimes conveying God's relationship with humanity is not just about words. We understand so much more about God's love through rhythm and rhyme. Knowing that part of the letter is quoting a musical lyrics makes me really want to be able to hear the original words in the original language so that I can hear the rhythm and the sound of what we just read. But just by analyzing the actual text, we can still gather some of the information or the original intent of this passage. This is something that allows us to understand what Christ brings to us, how he brings abstract concept to something that we can feel, touch, and see. And through these senses, we can trust our deeper and deeper level of our being to Christ. Let's take a quick look at the passage a little at a time. What we know about Christ is he grants us might to give us patience. That's our first scripture. That's our first little part, by being strengthened through his glorious might, so you can endure everything and have patience. And by giving thanks with joy to the Father. And it is especially, I picked this because I have favorite parts of the scripture, but because I'm a lectionary preacher, I look at what is selected. This is one of the things that I ensure in our church. We basically offer scripture selection that any Christian walking into any church may encounter, probably 30-40% of the time, because so many churches are preaching according to the lectionary. This is this week's, one of the lectionary selection for this week. And I think it is both because of the Thanksgiving element and because of the reconciling element. But we'll continue to look at that a little bit as we explore into this, in depth into this scripture. We, as we read further, second part of what we know is Christ grant us in, allow us to inherit light and forgiveness. In that part, he made it so that you can take part in the inheritance in light granted to God's holy people. He rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He sets us free through the Son and forgave our sins. So we have to, in this time, wrestle a little bit with the concept of both being loved and being forgiven. And then we're at the same time wrestling with the concept of how we respond in terms of how we love and how we forgive. Officially, on my Bible selection, it says the next part is the hymn about Jesus Christ. So it says it allows us the ability to see the invisible God. And it so that because we are able to see the something that's invisible, conceptual, abstract, through our Christ Jesus, our Lord, that we are able, because he lived, because Jesus Christ set an example on what it looks like to approach closer and closer to God, because we now know what God looks like through God, through Christ's life. He made something that's invisible visible. We also, at the same time, in that part that they talk about, in things that are visible and things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. That we not only have an ability to trust that Christ is in charge of everything, and at the same time, Christ teaches us the humble, the meek, the ones who are oppressed are the ones that Christ came to help. That is an act of physical reconciling, allowing that he is in charge of all things powerful, but God has sent Christ down in order to allow the powerful and the meek to have an ability to be reconciled with each other. In that, we can trust Christ with our troubles, that we know Christ is in charge. We also, the next part of the song is that Christ is the head of our church. Christ is in charge of our church. So then we can trust our our Christ to be the head of our church. We can trust our church to Christ. I don't know if you're aware of the troubles in our church, in the United Methodist Church. In our annual conference, in our annual charge conference within this church, our district superintendent came to each individual church in the entire district and basically say they're in a listening phase. They are anticipating in 2020 there is a potential that our United Methodist Church will no longer be united. And they're not just listening to all the pastors or the leaders. They want to hear from everyone. If we are forced to become a split church, if it is not an option, then what kind of church will we be? So that is the message we heard when we attended our church conference last month. No, a few weeks ago. So we are anxious. We are troubled. But in reading this passage today, we know we can trust Christ, because no matter where, we are still part of Christ's body, Christ's universal church. We can trust Christ in being the head of Christ's church, and that we don't have to really worry about today's political environment and today's struggle. We are doing our part, and we're being guided by Christ and the Holy Spirit in doing what is right. At the same time, we trust all this will play out, and Christ is still in charge and head of the church. We come to the next part of, we say, next part of the scripture reading, that we can trust our eternal life to Christ. He exists before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the one who is firstborn from among the dead, and that he might occupy the first place in everything everlasting. We can trust everlasting life and eternal life, whether it be today and the future, to Christ. And the last part, and because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in him, and he reconciled all things to himself through him, whether things on earth or in the heavens, he brought peace through the blood of his cross. Through Christ, Christ reconciled us with God and allow us to reconcile with people because of that power. I come to this passage and I was praying over it a lot. I realized this passage has depth for use to slowly chew over many times, read it and pray over it, thinking over the full meaning of how the creator of heaven and earth, of everything living and not living, of physical things and spiritual things, put effort and send a beloved son, only son, to reconcile with you and me, to show us how to be reconciling with everything in God's creation, all beings in this universe, and allow all people of the kingdom to be reconciled through the act of God, Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. This powerful concept has implication in many topics that we wrestle with in our lives today. Those topics that might include environmental protection, protecting the fullness of God's creation because we have received the opportunity to reconcile with God through Christ. Joining all people on the fringes of society in seeking justice because Christ has extended his forgiveness to sinners even before they knew him. Speaking up for justice and acting in kindness because Christ has the supreme power over all things and teaches us to speak up for those who are oppressed and in need of compassion. Most of what we do as Christians in a church is because Christ is the supreme reconciler. We can look at a few other passages in the Bible that also talks about the concept of forgiveness and reconciling. In Proverbs 16:7, when people draw favor from the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. The basis of making peace and forgiving and being reconciled with an enemy is not necessarily our relationship with the enemies, but based on our relationship with God. We know forgiveness is difficult for people. If it is something that means little to me, then it is easy to forgive. But if it's something that has harmed the core of who we are, harm done to someone we love more than ourselves, hurt that touched the core of our identity, then it is incredibly difficult to forgive. In these moments, it is important to remember. Oh, I put a little picture of C.S. Lewis's quote here. Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. Perhaps it is important to remember Jesus, the supreme reconciler. When Jesus prayed to the Creator Father, "Father, forgive them for they know not what they do," he was not just forgiving the ones who were watching at the crucifixion. Perhaps he was not just forgiving the ones who condemned him. Perhaps he was not just forgiving the followers who were too afraid to stand by his side. Perhaps he was forgiving all of the humanity for our frailties and weaknesses, for our greed and selfishness, for our fear and anger, for our division and hate. In that moment when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them," that is the moment that his suffering and his death and his resurrection allowed us to be reconciled with God because Jesus said so. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Romans 5:7-11, it isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through Christ. If we were reconciled through Christ through the death of his son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we now have restored relationship with God. This word was also important to our church because we put a logo for the fact that we are a reconciling ministry church. We are a church in the Reconciling Ministry Network. We put a rainbow flag in our sanctuary. But let us look at that not as an activism strictly only because it's LGBTQ issues, but because we respect the concept of Christ the Supreme Reconciler, that because of Christ, we can be not afraid when we approach issues that are foreign or difficult, especially because they are not close to our core, our regular, especially because some of these issues may come and touch or affect our core identity as who we are. Because Christ has reconciled with, allow us to be reconciled, we know the people that we are all created through the same word, loved by God the same as all God's creation, and given a path to redemption through Christ's act of sacrifice, to find a place to fit in God's kingdom. That all means all. All have been given a place in Christ's church. And anyone who turned to Jesus is loved and given a place in continued reconciliation with heaven and earth. Yesterday, I saw a Facebook share from a quote of Mr. Rogers through Todd Bagot. And I thought this idea fit our topic very well today. Because Jesus has opened, let me see. Love isn't a state of perfect caring. It is an active noun, like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, here and now. I don't know how to summarize the concept of reconciliation better on the earth, although what Christ did allow us to be reconciled with God, this concept allows to be reconciled with each other. Because Jesus has opened the door for us to be reconciled with God, then we can reconcile and love all our neighbors. May Christ bless the hearing of word and understand and pray that we continue to wrestle and chew what this passage has meant for us. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, we don't know. We daily struggle with what is us and what is you, what is right and what is righter. But guide us. You have sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Allow us to be in a secure place of safety and continue to wrestle and chew what it means that you are the supreme reconciler and you have brought us our place in God's kingdom. We continue to pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.